and the dog. My mama's calls is it against the law for me to get what I need? A good friend and a glass of wine. I'm gonna say it's gonna be alright. A good friend and a glass of wine. A little pick me up to get me through the night. Don't care, shall we live to cry? The kind of therapy money can't buy. Friend and a glass of wine. Don't need a jet, I'm on vacation for a week. I'd be happy to have a happy hour. When I'm tired and I'm fried, it gets me right.
Welcome to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. You are on with Lisa Tarvis and Daria Ann. Daria, how are you?
Hey, Lisa. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I am excited to do the show. We did not do a didn't do a live show last week because of Easter, and it was Good Friday actually. And then I didn't do a live show last week because of Easter Sunday. So it's nice to actually be able to do a live show. Now, when I say live show, just so everybody doesn't start calling in, it's not really live for you. It's live for us. It's a new show, not a live show, technically. Right? I guess that's right. How we would say it. Yes, it's a new show. It's not a rerun, but it's also not live. We're pre-recording on Thursday because of our schedules. It's really hard for us to sometimes do it on do a live one on Friday. So we do some pre-recording. So this is pre-recorded, just so you know, so nobody sits there calling us and sits on hold for 45 minutes trying to figure out what the heck's going on. We're not there. It's already been recorded.
We're sparing you that frustration.
Yes, we're sparing everyone that. So anyway, everyone, this is Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. We are on Fridays at 7 p.m. The show covers women's issues, all kinds of different women's issues, and Daria and I talk about what's going on in our lives, which seems to be similar to what's going on in a lot of women's lives. So we seem to have that overlap there, and it seems to be catching on with a lot of the ladies out there. So like I said, the show's on every Friday at 7, and then I host. We're all on the Rightstream Radio Network, by the way, and you can visit us at www.rightstreamradio.com, and that's Rightstream, like right, W-R-I-T-E, not right, like yes, right. It's Rite stream.com. and rightstreamradio, I'm sorry, .com. And you can find out about all our shows. But I am going to be doing a live show on Sunday with Psychic Readings, which everybody loves, 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 coming up Sunday. What are you doing Tuesday for Monday we have, by the way, Military Monday with John D. Gresham. And on Tuesdays, Dari Ann has her show, Rightstream Tuesday. And what do you have planned? Do you know yet?
I actually have a very special show coming up this Tuesday because I have family coming in from out of state next week. My good friend Diane Student, who is an award-winning internet radio host, she used to host a show called Freedom's Wings. She doesn't anymore, but she's a fantastic radio host, and she's going to be filling in for me. So we're going to have a live show, but it's going to be at a special time of 6 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday, April 29th. And Lisa, it's actually going to be a paranormal theme show.
Oh, cool.
Diane, yeah, she's interviewing Bruce Hennigan, who's writing, he has a series of novels. I know one of them is called The Twelfth Demon. Like, they're different numerals having to do with demons. And so he's writing, I think, 13 books, and he's written four. And so she's going to be talking to him about all of that. And, it'll be nice because I don't believe I've ever interviewed anyone in the realm of paranormal fiction. Actually, you know, after this weekend especially, a couple of weeks ago, I know this stuff is real, and certainly, knowing you and just the people that I've known that are in this field of metaphysical and paranormal, I know it's all real, but what I mean is it's the first time we'll be having an author who actually writes paranormal and it's scary kind of stuff.
Yeah.
On Rightstream.
Yeah.
So
that's
I'm
cool.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's really cool. I've had a few creepy ones on. You know, the scary creepy stuff. Yeah, the scary creepy. I don't do it a lot, but it depends on, I guess, your level of what you think is creepy and what you don't. I've got a pretty high tolerance for creepiness, so
was it Jason Dowd?
What was his
name? Oh my God, he freaked me out.
Yeah, I know. I think that was his name. I've had so many guests on, it's hard to remember. It's only been a year and I'm already forgetting people, but he was very, very good. And there have been a couple that have been, really interesting, just their experiences, what they've experienced themselves, and the people that go out there and do ghost hunting and the experiences they have. So I think it's that'll be really interesting. I'll have to listen in on that. Hopefully I can do that live. I know I have some appointments that day, but if I can't listen live, I'll definitely catch it in the archives. And by the way, I was on, Dari, I know you listened, at least in the archives, I was on our Wednesday show, which is Family Power Hour with Dr. Billy and Sheena Benjamin Wise, who Dr. Billy is a psychologist and Sheena is a family law attorney. So they do a really wonderful show, and they were nice enough to have me on yesterday for a little while, and we talked about what I do and what's going on, and we've actually scheduled for me to do some live on air readings May 28th. On their show. So that's going to be neat. I think it's cool that we're all crossing over a little bit. You know, I like the crossover that we're
absolutely.
All, we're all overlapping a little bit, and I'm interviewing authors and you're interviewing paranormal people and, we're talking relationships, all the different stuff. So I think that's great.
I think it's good to remind people that we are a network, and I think it's good to help promote each other, like you said, cross-promote.
Right.
In the case of Tuesday's Rightstream, I asked Diane because she and I have been friends for years, and we haven't yet met in person, even though she does live in Florida. She lives in Central Florida. But I know that she's such a great host, and she said to me, well, I can do it, but she's like, I can't do it at 1 o'clock. She's like, do you mind if I do it at 6 p.m. Eastern? And I'm like, no, absolutely not, because my mom and my brother Ralph are going to be here next week, and I didn't really want to play a rerun, and I certainly didn't want to have to do a live show. So I'm really thankful to Diane for doing that. And Lisa, I just want to mention another thing since we're talking about we're promoting other shows. I have a special Rightstream show coming up on May 20th, and I want to start doing some different things like this. On May 20th, we're going to have a show with several highly successful independently published authors, and the title of the show is basically going to be, okay, so you've written a book, what now?
Right.
And we're going to cover editing, marketing, the social media, which self-publishing company to select, what scams to look out for, because there are plenty of them out there. A lot of companies out there who'd be more than happy to take your money, especially if you're a newbie author. And so I basically want this to be a show that's going to offer a lot of great information to people, especially people who are new to this whole process. And if I can help one other person avoid being taken advantage of, then that makes me happy. So look for that on May 20th. I'm really excited about that. And just really quickly, too, I want to mention that Dr. Tanya Howard's going to be on my show on May 13th. John has interviewed her several times. She's a holistic. She's into holistic health. She's a chiropractor in the, I believe, in Annapolis, Maryland. But we're going to talk about carpal tunnel syndrome, since that affects many writers. Obviously, lots of people that work at computers. But I wanted to do something a little bit different. And Dr. Tanya's got a great personality. She has a lot of good information to share, and certainly that affects. That's something that does affect writers. And
well, not just writers. I mean, I got to tell you, I've been. I'm an iPad, avid iPad user, and I know, like, I do everything on my iPad. I type on my iPad, I do my email on Facebook, Twitter, Hootsuite, all the different stuff that I do on my iPad. Right now I'm on my laptop, of course, but my iPad goes with me like my phone. I mean, it's just always there. And I even read on it. I have my Kindle app on it, so I read on it, and I started getting this funny cramping feeling in my thumb up my wrist, from just holding my Kindle all the time in the same position. So I start thinking, holy crap, I'm going to get carpal tunnel if I don't start, like, switching things up a little bit. So I just started, I got a little stand to put it on and did some different things, and it actually healed up really well. But that's that's a great topic for everyone, whether you write or you don't write. Well, everybody writes, obviously, but whether you're a writer or not, I mean, I think with all the technical, the gadgets we have, our phones and everything, I think it's not that hard to get something at least before, like the thing before you get carpal tunnel, you know, those signs you get.
Like, let's prevent it before, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So that's great. I think that'll be a great show. Pretty much my shows are all going to be, and not that we want to keep talking about our shows, because we do want to talk about our other stuff, but my shows coming up here are pretty much all going to be psychic shows coming up in the next few weeks. So every Sunday, everybody tune in. I've got a different psychic on every week, going to be doing live readings. And in fact, I have a past life one that's going to do past life readings, which I can't wait.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I don't think that's scheduled till June. You know me, I'm all pre-scheduled out months ahead. But, yeah, I'm really excited about that one, because that's really different. But we've got all kinds of great stuff coming up on Just Believe, too. So, anyway, everybody, check out RightStreamRadio.com and find out what all of our shows are, who hosts what show. You can find out ways to follow each one of the hosts, plus follow the show, or the network, I'm sorry, and or the show, and see everything we've got to offer, because it's really getting to be a real fun place to have a radio show on. So and we've got some really great people working on this network, so I'm real proud of that. So I want to talk to you, first of all, I mean, really, last time we talked, we did love, so we're really supposed to be focusing on liberty, technically, this week, right?
Right.
So what are we going to talk about, liberty?
Well, part of liberty, I guess, is personal growth.
Absolutely.
here's how I'm going to segue into what I wanted to talk about.
That's all right. You got to do it some way. I kind of left you hanging there.
Huh?
I left you hanging there with the liberty thing.
Yeah, nothing like, you know, putting me on the spot.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm good at thinking on my feet by now.
Yeah,
like 5 years of doing this internet radio stuff. But yeah. Actually, no. When we say liberty, let's define that. We think of like things like travel, money, career, health, obviously, because I think health is essential to liberty.
And my contribution, by the way, is going to be a weight loss health issue, so we will get to that after we get to yours. But you're right, it does include all of those things. I think all of them, love stretches, you know, over so many different levels. So does liberty. And when we get to lip gloss, we might get a little bit more worried about appearance and things like that, but they're still very important, you know, and actually that can include health as well. So I think we're covering everything, but liberty, you're right, it absolutely, personal growth is one of our rights, you know, it's one of our rights as human beings and as United States citizens and all of that. So that's the way I'm going to help you out there.
Well, thank you. Well, and within health, I mean, since we're focusing on health includes to me, not just the physical, but spiritual, mental,
absolutely,
emotional. I mean, all of that, you know, mind, body, medicine, like Lisa, which is what you do for your living.
Yep.
And so I'm going to tie this in with the seminar that I went to 2 weeks ago. I mean, I talked about this a lot leading up to the seminar with Morgana Starr up in Brevard County. But since I went, I mean, it was pretty wild. And I kind of look at this. The reason why I see this as liberating is because I learned so much. And I also learned that I have a lot to learn, which is fine. You know, I was in a intermediate level class for angelic arts, which is what she called it. And I was approved to be part of the class. When I had a reading with Morgana, and she said, you know, your energy is really advanced, and I'm getting, you know, the angels are telling me that you're ready for this. And I said to her, are you sure? Because, you know, I didn't take the first class, and she's like, they wouldn't steer me wrong, and they wouldn't tell, I'm like, okay, you know. So anyway, I was really intrigued because, and you know this yourself, that I've been on this path. So I went to this class and spent a weekend at Morgana's. I actually stayed at her house for two nights because it's almost a three-hour drive from where I'm living right now. Beautiful area. I love that whole area. And I was in a class with seven other people, and most of them were very advanced. I mean, a couple of them, Lisa, were Reiki masters.
Okay.
And a lot of the class had to do with Reiki, very, very interesting. I have to say, I mean, and I was getting, I guess, on a personal level, or maybe, you know, not the soul level, but on the personality level, I was getting a little frustrated with myself for not being as advanced as these people, and they kept reminding me, you know, this one woman especially, her name was Michelle. She was kind of like a mentor. Michelle was an electrical engineer, okay, so she's very left-brained. There were a couple of left-brained people in this class. One was a tax attorney, and they've been studying with Morgana for years and are now, obviously, because they've developed the skill, they're very advanced. And Lisa, this is one thing I want to throw out there for people, too, because we talk a lot about misconceptions about psychic ability. Well, one thing I learned is that this is a discipline. You don't just, like, suddenly – well, most people anyway. I realize that some people like you are kind of born with the gift, which I'm sure you still develop over time. But for people who are just learning and just coming into it and just realizing that they have that ability or that they want to tap into that ability more, it really is a discipline.
I mean, it is. And like, you know what? And even for those that are born with it, I mean, you know what? Most of us that are born with it, you know, I was born being able to see angels and all of that when I was little. But it went away. I mean, it goes away. If you don't nurture it, if you don't respect it, if you don't honor it and grow it, it shrivels up and goes away, you know. So, and it did for me too. So it became a matter of, even though I had a family history of people having these, you know, abilities, it still was something that I had to constantly, you know, when I wanted to work on it, I did have to work on it. Just the same way you're doing it, I had to do it too. Only I just had memories of being able to naturally do it as a little kid, you know. So it was just it really is a big time discipline. And if I don't practice it, like if I take a couple months off, which I do once in a while, I'll be like, I need a break. I come back in foggy headed, like, okay, I got to how do I connect again? How do I get reconnected? So absolutely, I get that.
Yeah, you know, the people in the class were so nice, and Morgana herself, she's wonderful. Her name is Morgana Starr. You can find her on Facebook, Starr is her last name.
Yeah, she actually friended me after the weekend that you were there, so I absolutely accepted and have been following her since then. She's really seems like a great lady.
Excellent. Yeah, she's wonderful. I mean, part of that weekend was about meeting new people, and they were all wonderful. So, and certainly Morgana, you know, as the hostess, was just meeting her was phenomenal. And she's just a really cool person. I mean, she reminds me a lot of you, Lisa, that, you know, when the class was over, she was like, okay, you want to watch a movie? Like, let's get back into, like, you know, material life now.
Right,
like, let's turn
right.
it off for a while, because she could see, everybody saw that I was very overwhelmed. I mean, we covered a lot of intense stuff in a period of 2 days, and, you know, it got a little crazy, but one of the things, Michelle, just getting back to the woman who was the engineer, I mean, she said to me, she said, don't feel bad. She's like, I had a really hard time turning off my logical brain. Now, even though I'm a writer, I do have a left-brain streak in me, too. I can be really skeptical and questioning about things, and so, not that I don't believe all of this, but you know, she said to me, you know, I actually had to, in my mind, like, picture myself putting my logical brain in a vault and turning
yeah.
and locking it in there, and it could do whatever it wanted while it was in the vault. It could keep thinking and doing its thing, but, like, I had to have that image in my head that I put it aside while I did this other stuff, because otherwise it can get in the way. So
absolutely.
Yeah, so she was really cool. So we covered things. We did a lot of Reiki, and like I said, one thing that was very interesting that happened, and this is kind of personal, but what the heck, it's a women's show. But unfortunately, you know, and I love Morgana's term for this, you know, for the monthly visitor. She calls it your moon time. I'm like, wow, that's a lovely way of thinking of it. I think that's what I'll call it from now on.
Yes, yeah, I like that too.
Do you like that?
I've heard that before. I like that. Yeah, I always did like that.
So the point of this whole, I do have a point to this, I promise, listeners. I'm not just talking about it for the sake of talking about it, but I had the most horrific cramps on Saturday and Sunday. But, okay, Saturday was the day that we were doing Reiki on each other. So I'm laying on the table. You know, it was my turn to, she had, like, a massage table. So it was, and she had separated us into groups. We were, like, in two different rooms, and we had, like, different groups of people working. So we had, like, three people working on, like, one person, and in the other room, like, another three people working on another person, so to keep things moving. So anyway, when it was my turn to lay down on the table, I was laying down, and they were, the way they did the Reiki, I know, Lisa, with Reiki, you can either touch the person or you can keep your hands, like, about an inch above them as you're moving around.
Yep.
So they just thought, I mean, I didn't care. They said to me, you know, does it matter to you? I go, whatever you want to do, I mean, I'm fine, because I trusted everybody in there. You know, I knew they were all good people, and they were like, well, we'll just hover our hands over you. So they were not actually touching me. And this is important to the story. So I'm laying there, and so they're, you know, I had my eyes closed because the table was comfortable, and I was just kind of relaxing. We had, like, this nice music playing. And so we had one guy in the class, Gary, who was in this Reiki session with us, and it was Michelle, and then another really sweet young girl named Carrie, younger. I mean, she's probably in her mid-20s, very sweet. And so anyway... All of a sudden, so Gary and Michelle are working on me. Now, Carrie, I knew, was, like, at the top of the table. She was, like, around my forehead. And nobody said anything. Everything was fine. I can't say I felt anything. But then all of a sudden, I hear Gary say to me, what's going on with your abdomen? He's like, my thumb is twitching. And I was like, and I thought to myself, oh, my God, am I actually going to have to admit, like, what's going on with my abdomen right now?
So that's good. I
opened my eyes, and literally, I mean, he wasn't kidding. And again, I want to stress, nobody was actually touching me.
Right.
Their hands were above me. And Michelle was on the other side, and her hands were over my abdomen, too. And she was just like, oh, my God, it's really hot. Well, I mean, what amazed me, probably won't amaze you because you are a Reiki master, but that, you know, the cramps were so intense that they were able to pick up on that energy, not even touching me, and could feel like how hot the energy was. Not hot, but warm. And to pick that up. And that was the only thing that they picked up in my body. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, there is something going on, but it's perfectly normal. It's nothing bad. It's kind of annoying every month, but it's nothing really bad. So I just thought, to me, that was sort of validation in a way, though, that there really is something to Reiki. I mean, I always believed that there was, but I guess, you know, part of the reason maybe I was going through that time during the class was, you know, to prove it to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like you said, you're a left brain thinker. And for me, I swear, my brain is so weird because I have, you know, with everything all the gifts that I have and all the, you know, my education and my interests always being in metaphysical topics, spiritual topics, I still have that same skepticism in certain things. And, you know, I get like that too. So for me, you know, I actually had to experience Reiki before I really believed it as well. It didn't seem like it was possible unless you were, you know, blessed by God somehow that it would work. But it really does. I mean, it can fix pretty much anything, or at least it can at least take some pain away from, you know, any situation that you're having. And I pick up all kinds of stuff. I've picked up that. You know, that sort of thing with, you know, a monthly cycle and things like that with women a lot, pregnancies, you know, all kinds of stuff. So it's actually there's something very amazing about it and unexplainable, which I think covers most of metaphysical topics, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I want to add, you know, earlier that morning, you know, before people even got there, Morgana had me, she has a screened-in porch at the back of her house, and she's like, let's go outside. So she did a Reiki attunement on me before that, but I was actually sitting in a chair, and she went through this whole little kind of, like, routine with me. And so it was interesting. I mean, I was happy to find out that I was in balance. Another thing we did was she spent some time, I think it was on Sunday, talking about energy medicine with Donna Eden. It's a book by a woman. She's awesome.
Yeah, I studied her for my bachelor's degree, I believe. She was, when we did energy medicine, she was one of the ones we studied.
She's cool. I mean, she's got a great website.
Yes, she does. She's got great YouTube videos, too. She's got a really good thing going on.
Yeah, she does. Gosh, she would be a great guest for Just Believe, but I'm sure she's busy. But
yeah, I'm sure she is, too, but I could still give it a shot, you know?
Right. So we spent some time talking about energy medicine, which was really cool, and Morgana had these dowsing rods, which I had never seen before.
Dowsing?
For energy?
Dowsing?
Dowsing, sorry. Yeah. Dowsing rods. Thank you.
No problem.
Very cool. I mean, and, you know, I had to say this, too. I was a little bit nervous because, and even though she said, let me back up. I know I'm kind of like all over the place. There was so much that happened that weekend. But Morgana, now this is how she works. And she works with Archangel Enel. And Enel is like a very powerful archangel. And Enel is also, she's into people being empowered and being strong and all of that. And to use Morgana's phrase, it's not all fluffy bunny stuff with her. It's also, you know, like dealing with some of the darker forces. And Morgana showed us like pictures of her having to clear out houses. And we talked a lot about that, you know, some of the dark entities that are out there. But she presented it in a way that like Enel is powerful. And if you're part of her team, all you have to, you know, you put yourself in her pyramid of protection and you make it very clear that you're with Enel and these other spirits kind of go away. And I don't, you know, she went into a little bit of that. And I was thinking to myself, my God, I'm such a beginner. Like, hopefully if that's in my future, I hope it's like far down the road because I can't even picture myself being able to do that right now. But I think her point in showing us all that and talking about it was just to kind of let us know that we're all called to do different things. In my case, I feel like I'm more called, you know, to be a healer type. Certainly if something like that ever came up with a client. And we did talk about, you know, protecting yourself and before and after you do a reading, just to make sure that energies don't stay around you and you can, you know, we went into all of that, which was really good. It was very, very interesting. But we also did a session about channeling. And this is a really emotional thing, and it's kind of personal. But I want to ask you this because I can't – something happened, and Morgana explained what it was with an archangel that kind of came into – you know, that communicated with me.
Okay.
And then because I didn't write it down at the time, I can't remember the significance of it. So, Lisa, maybe you might be able to help me.
Okay.
But we had this channeling session, and anybody in the room was allowed, you know, would you like to try to communicate with someone that has passed on? And so when it was my turn, I said that I would like to see if Enel could get my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, Madeline, the woman I called Nanny. So Morgana was in like a meditative state, and she asked Enel to please go do that. And so, you know, my grandmother came through. And I don't need to make this clear. I did not see anything. A lot of people in the room did, and they were describing my grandmother perfectly, which was really freaking me out. I didn't see anything, but again, I think I was just nervous and I wasn't really, but I did hear stuff. So anyway, we're sitting there. So my grandmother came through, and for the first time ever, now I've had her come through in readings before, but for the first time ever, my grandfather was also with her.
Wow.
Kind of interesting because he died, my mom had just found out she was pregnant with me, and all of a sudden he had a heart attack like out of the blue, was never sick in his life, and it was really kind of, it was very sudden, it was totally out of the blue, and he's never come through on any readings with me, and his name is Raphael, so he's there, and so people around me, not just Morgana, but all these other people in the class who are also advanced, and they're also psychic, I mean, they're well advanced in their abilities, they start describing things, and they're saying, it's really weird because, you know, there's a man with her, and they described him, and they're like, we think it's, you know, it feels like grandfather energy, and I said, well, that makes sense. Anyway, to make a long story short, I know I'm rambling, what's been on my mother's mind lately, and I did not know I was going to ask this question. Like, when I asked if I could communicate with my grandmother, I had no idea what I was going to ask her. We had an opportunity to ask them one question, and all of a sudden I blurred out, well, you know, I really need to know what's going to happen with my brother Ralph because my mother's been really upset about it. She's very concerned about her dad, you know, my dad, you know, she's very concerned about her passing on, my father passing on and leaving. Now, my brother Ralph is my second oldest brother with Down syndrome. He's done very well, but he lives with my parents. And he's in the very early stages of Alzheimer's because that tends to happen with people that have Down syndrome. So far, you know, it's not really bad. And so that's been on my mother's mind. And so I wanted to get some answers with that. Well, Lisa, all of a sudden, I said something to my grandfather. I asked that question, and then I said, I guess I blurted it out at the same time, because Ralph was named after my grandfather, who's Raphael, which is the real name. I said, are you around Ralph? Are you taking care of him? And I swear to God, Lisa, I did not know my grandfather, but I've heard many people over the years impersonate his voice inflection, his mannerisms, and the voice I heard sounded exactly like the imitations I've heard people make of him, impersonations.
Wow.
I mean, he sounded kind of pissed off, so he was like, why would he need me? He's got Archangel Raphael and Gabriel around him. And all of a sudden, I could sense that those angels were present. And so they started talking. I don't know if it was them or if they came through. They must have come through Morgana. I don't remember because I had my eyes closed and it was a really kind of freaky experience. And they said, I mean, these were distinctive voices. Oh, and my grandfather said, I'm sorry, before I get to that, my grandfather said, don't you worry your pretty little head about it. The archangels are taking care of it. And then the angels, it sounded like they shushed me. I mean, it was like, shh, like this really loud noise. And I got really freaked out. I'm like, oh my God, I pissed somebody off. I didn't mean to. I'm just asking questions.
Right.
And they were like, and then this voice came through, I think it was the angel saying, and I started crying. I got really emotional. So I might be paraphrasing here, but they said, you don't have to worry about your brother. He's an amazing soul. He's brought so much joy to so many people. And we're taking care of him. I'm going to start crying now. And tell your parents, and I don't really want to tell my parents this, but the message came through that he's going to pass before them and that they're not going to have to worry about that. And they said there's going to be so much dancing and rejoicing, and they're going to find him, like, with a smile on his face because there's going to be all this celebration when he crosses over. So it made me feel, I mean, it's weird. I had mixed emotions about it. I mean, yes, I mean, obviously I believe that with all my heart. But, you know, I the thought of even, I don't think I could ever tell my mother that because I think, you know, no parent wants to hear, oh, you know, by the way, your child is going to cross over before you. So you don't have to worry about their welfare after you're gone.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was very, very emotional. But Morgana afterwards said something like, after we had come out of it, she goes, please, she said to me, don't be upset. They weren't shushing you. They were... That was their way of communicating something, but I didn't write it down, and now she can't remember either. So I don't remember really what that was. So
the shushing, the actual shushing noise?
Yeah, it sounded like they were going shh, like it was loud. And I was like, oh, shit, I pissed off the archangels. I didn't mean to do that.
Well, a lot of times, like, my communication with them can kind of be very squeaky, kind of high, and kind of like a high-pitch kind of noise that sometimes comes off harsh. Because of the pitch, you know, so it could have been just the way you interpreted it, and they're very it's not unusual for them to shush because they're saying this is not for you to worry about. There is nothing, you have no control over this. This is not something that you can do anything about. We have this, and you know the angels are very big on you handing your problems over to God, like we're supposed to do. And, you know, handing our problems over and then stop trying to control them because we're all such control freaks, you know. And so
yeah.
We say we're going to hand the problems over to the angels or hand them over to God, hand our concerns and worries and things over, but we don't. We do it. We say we do it, but then we still try to control the situation. So I think that could be related to it is somehow that, you know, they're just saying this is one of the things that you have power over. It's not something that you should be worried about. There's, you know, already a divine plan for your brother. And many of the most special souls, and I know this from, you know, my communication with angels over the years, as well as with departed souls and things like that, many of the most special souls out there, some of the most... advanced souls and developed souls are people that are born with a severe handicap like Down syndrome or something like that, you know, mentally retarded, things of that sort, where where it's like it seems like it's such a hard life, but their life is actually, it's almost a gift because they've been given just happiness. They're just happy. They're just, you know what I mean? And I think that's the whole point of finding him with a smile because, you know, he's already probably able to see so much more than any of us are, you know, because of his soul level being, you know, so advanced compared to most of ours.
Yeah, and it made me feel good to know that he's got those two powerful archangels around him all the time. I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but it just made me feel good to get that confirmation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And they are. And the archangels, one of the things people, I always try to remind people is, you know, archangels, everybody say, well, I don't want to bother Archangel Michael with my problems. He's got bigger things to worry about, or I don't want to bother God or Jesus or whoever. And that's so not the situation, because they don't have to just be one place at a time. You know, they can be millions of places at a time. You know, they don't have that limited space and time thing that we have as human beings. So, you know, anybody that wants to call on an archangel, never feel guilty that you're calling on that archangel, because it's absolutely okay to do so, because that's why they're there. I think the most frustrating thing for the angels is when we still try to, if angels get frustrated, which I think is, again, a human emotion, and they probably don't, but I think that it's got to be frustrating for us to call and beg for their help and them to give it to us, and then because we don't see immediate result, we start trying to take control of it again. And then our free will interrupts, and that screws everything up, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Morgana, was funny. Morgana said something over the weekend. She was doing, you know, during part of her talk that she was giving, and she said something like, yeah, kind of like along the lines of what you're saying, you know, that they don't really get frustrated, but she's like, they might watch you do something really bad, like even if you, and this is an extreme example, but like if you murdered somebody, she goes, they might think, okay, that's interesting that she did that. But they don't get, I think just what you're saying, they don't get, like, upset because they know that your soul, you know, has inhabited this body this lifetime for whatever purpose, whatever lessons. Not that I'm condoning murder, far from it, but
right.
In terms of, like, what the angels are doing, you know, they're not going to be like, they'll be like, okay, well, that was a really interesting choice. I wonder why she did that,
right.
You know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
More than, like, you know, again, having that different understanding of why we're here. So
yeah, it's a really it's fascinating to learn about, and every communication I have with angels is always so interesting, and it's so funny because they don't have our human emotions, but they can come off as being like we see human emotion or we feel human emotion. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, that's why people get so confused, like what you're saying. You know, it sounded angry. Angels are never angry. I mean, I've never frustrated. That's as close as an emotion as I can kind of connect with angels, and it's not like our frustration. It's like that, why did she go and do that? You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing, not like the way we get frustrated over stuff. So it's a little different, but it's really, really cool. And that was a great reading for you. I mean, what an important thing to just give you comfort and know that, you know, even though it's going to be hard to lose him, to know that that you're not really losing him, first of all, because he's still going to be there, and that he's going to, all the, you know, earthly stuff that he's had to live with his entire life will
yeah.
be gone, you know, and he'll be back in the best place there is to go, and it's not Disneyland, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Happiest place on earth.
That was really, it was cool. It really was. And one other quick thing too. One of the other women in the room, just in a general thing, you know, while we were doing this channeling session, it was probably before all that stuff happened. She said, she goes, God, I'm feeling a bracelet. She's like, is there something significant about a bracelet? Well, my grandmother, aside from her engagement ring, which I wear all the time, I mean, my grandmother had these beautiful charm bracelets. And so I have a few of those. And it was just funny. It was Michelle, actually. She's like, she kept holding her wrist, going, God, I feel this heavy bracelet on my wrist. And I'm like, yeah, that was hers. So, yeah, it was very, very interesting. And the cool part is that we now have, everybody that was in this class, we have, Morgana started like a private Facebook group, and where we can ask each other questions, and we can, you know, practice on each other with prayers and channeling and whatever we want to do. So it's kind of cool. I mean, I think it's really going to help me as I move through this, trying to develop different things. I mean, I came back kind of like excited but feeling overwhelmed, and I put the workbook away, and I thought, you know, I'm not even going to think about this for a while. I'm just going to kind of let things gel. And I still do my prayers that I've always been doing and some of the meditations that Morgana gave us, but then I just let it go, and I just figure, you know, this will develop the way it's supposed to. Well, that's, we're not going to force anything.
That's really important because I think just like with anything you're learning, whether it's, you know, calculus or, you know, building a helicopter or, I don't know,
yeah,
or learning to become psychic. I mean, you know, the bottom line is that there is never an end to what or how much you can know. I mean, you can always learn more, and I think that's with anything. So the problem with this sort of thing is that there is no material. Okay, here we go. I have this to prove it. So it's a very easy thing I think to get frustrated with.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want to do that. I mean, just like, you know, when you need to take the break, I do. I still need to take breaks every once in a while. You know, I still need to, once, you know, just like, all right, I just can't deal with it. I'll block my calendar, you know, for a month or something or for a couple weeks and just be like, all right, I'm not going to see clients from this to this because I need a break, you know. I need some time off. And so,
yep.
So that, you know, that's what I do. But, I mean, it happens to everybody. And luckily when you own your own business and when you do this sort of work, you know, you have the opportunity to be able to do that. And for me, I can focus on writing or I can focus on, you know, radio or something like that instead of actually doing live readings. It's hard to do the readings. Readings take, even with the protection and everything, that does take a little bit of energy out of you. So it can, when you do too much too fast, you know, it can definitely get hard.
No, I believe that. And just along the lines of trusting in the message, too, that was another thing that came up, and I'm really practicing this myself because,
yeah,
you know, Morgana, on several different occasions, has said, gotten the messages from the angels about a specific situation that's unfolding right now, and it was all very positive, and it was all like, this is going to work out. You just have to, like, be patient right now. And so I think one of my lessons, too, just from a personal standpoint now, when you go to somebody like you or Morgana for guidance and you get the message more than once, yes, this is going to go the way you want it to go, but you just need to be patient and let it play out, that you really need to believe your guidance and just like you were saying before, you know, just let it go, let the angels take care of it, because those messages came through very strongly with her a couple of times, you know, not just on one occasion. And it's kind of like, okay, things are starting to unfold the way they said, but it's, you know, again, we're, the human part of me is like, well, I want this to happen faster.
Right.
And it's kind of like, okay, you know, like, just chill out. You know, the angels would never tell you something. Just like you said, you know, you're going to get the truth when you get a reading.
Yep. Yep.
And I trust Morgana. I trust the angels that nobody's going to tell me something just because it's going to make me happy. They're going to tell me something because it really is the way it's going to be, but I have to be very careful about what I do in the meantime. I find that, like, you can't get caught up in the minutia of what's happening right now after you've gotten like a big picture vision of what's going to happen.
Right.
Because you don't want to use your free will to screw up the outcome.
No, exactly. You can't. You've got to. It's just allowing yourself to be guided, and you know, trust is the biggest thing I think for anybody who starts practicing doing readings if they decide to actually practice it. Lots of people use it in their own lives, but to actually practice it with other people, trusting what you get, because sometimes what you get, I sit there still arguing with like a spirit guide or with an angel. I am not saying that. I mean, so many times I said that and my client in front of me is like, what? And I'm like, I'm sorry, but this is ridiculous. I'm like, you know, going on and I just get, okay. And then I have to take a breath and I'm like, all right, this is what I just got. And, you know, and then whatever it is I say, the client's mouth drops and they're like, how did you know that? You know, and I'm like, I don't know anything. they're telling me this stuff. And I said it was embarrassing to have to repeat, you know, so, and I'm no prude, you know, but come on.
Well, oh my God, yeah. Well, I think I mentioned this before, but back in 1998, I had a guy psychic tell me, and it has to do with this situation, which I'm not going to get into detail about it, but he had described the situation back then exactly as it's unfolding now, but he went a step further. He started telling me that, you know, the sex was going to be great. And in fact, he shut off the recorder because I was recording it. And he's like, no, I gotta turn this off so I can tell you this. And I'm like, Leo, like, okay, enough. Like, thank you very much. I'm really glad that this is going to...
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was turning red. I was turning red. I'm like, you really don't have to tell me all of this. Like,
yeah.
One sentence would have covered it. I would have gotten it. Okay.
Yeah, it's the same sort of thing, you know, when you're just like, you know, the stuff comes out and you're like, and they don't tell you if it's not important for the person to know for whatever reason, you know what I mean? So it's like, but I'm just sitting there like, I am not saying that, you know,
I'll say it out loud, you know, and everybody's like, what the heck? But yeah, it can be pretty wild.
Too funny. Two other quick things I want to mention, and then I want to hear about the health article you want to talk about. But just to wrap up this conversation and about the tuning out, you know, when you're done, I watched two movies with Morgana over the weekend, you know, at the end of each day. And one was The Gift, which was phenomenal. I never saw that movie before. It came out in like early 2001. And Kate Blanchett plays a psychic who lives in like this small town, and she's a widow with three young boys. And when the local socialite young woman, you know, daughter of this prominent town businessman is murdered, they can't figure out the case. They can't figure out who murdered her. So they go to her in like a last-ditch effort to find the killer. And it's, man, it was so good. I mean, it covered everything. And it had like one of those Sixth Sense type of twists to it at the end, a couple of twists actually at the end. And it was phenomenal. So it's called The Gift, and I just definitely recommend that. And then the other movie I just wanted to mention that we watched really quickly, I had originally seen in 1996, you mentioned Archangel Michael.
Yeah.
This is the movie,
yep,
Michael, with John Travolta, which, yep, I hated when I saw it the first
really?
Time.
Really? I loved it. Well, I didn't like the ending, but I liked it.
Well, see, but my point is, it was the frame of mind I was in at the time,
yeah,
when I saw it. Now, all these years later, watching it with Morgana, it was like watching it for the first time again, and I finally,
sure,
got it. And she was like, you know, the angels want us to be happy. Like, when you were talking about that before, you know, he's dancing. I love that dance scene.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that awesome?
It's like, really cool. But it wasn't the movie. My point is, it was the frame of mind I was in the first time I saw it, and I just didn't get it. The second time around, I was like, oh, my God, I love this movie. So, anyway, I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, I liked it the first time I saw it, but I'd always had some weird attachment to angels my entire life. So anything angel-related, I usually like, as long as it wasn't, you know, like some kind of negative thing. You know, I always enjoyed it, so... So
that it was good. It was really cute. Yeah, and I loved the whole thing. But yeah, well, I kind of liked the ending. I thought the ending was cute, but I don't want to give it away for anybody that hasn't.
Yeah,
seen
if you haven't seen it, yes, yeah.
Seen it, but
yeah.
he did a phenomenal. He really did. He did a great job. John Travolta did.
He always does. He always
it
does.
Really
he kind of knows what he's doing with that acting thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He really does.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was going to talk about this new thing that I, you know, I was sitting, this is just so typical me, and it's, so every, we sit here talking about, you know, the spirituality and the, you know, the metaphysics and the healing and the angels and all this stuff, and then I sit there and make a statement like I'm about to make, but I was sitting at a bar with a girlfriend of mine, a place we go to regularly. And my husband was there, and it was just a bunch of friends. And I'm sitting there just, I think I was drinking beer, whatever. And and we're talking about, we always talk about health stuff, because she's tried different diets, I've tried different diets. You know, she's lost a bunch of weight and gained it back. I've lost a bunch of weight and gained it back. You know, so we talk about everything, but that was the subject that night. And she said she'd heard about this thing called the wheat belly. And I'm like, the wheat belly? And she's like, I said, is that something like, you know, I said, I think I've heard of it, but not exactly in that term. I said, is that something like, you know, like a gluten diet, like, you know, something like that? And she said, I think so. She goes, I don't know that much about it. She said, but I've just heard that apparently wheat can cause a lot of fat in your belly and do all this stuff, and that it's not manufactured the same, it's not grown the same way, it's, you know, as it used to be, and it's become very unhealthy. So anyway, I started researching the hell out of it. Now, this is me. One of the things, there are certain things that I refuse to give up, I you know, with a diet. And I absolutely just will not give up, permanently give up. And see, to me, dieting has to be a lifestyle change. I have to it has to fit in with my life. I don't want it to be temporary. I want it to be something that I can live with. And for me, alcohol has to stay in my diet. I know, I sounds horrible, I am not a raging alcoholic, I swear, but the truth of the matter is, I enjoy red wine, I enjoy beer once in a while, I enjoy drinking, you know, and not everybody does, but I do.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
you know, the couple nights a week that, you know, that I have to kind of relax with a glass of wine or whatever, I don't want to give that up. And so many diets restrict that.
So I went and I started doing research, and I found that there were a lot of different, like red wine is absolutely fine to drink on this diet. And actually, most of them will tell you that that it's actually fine, really, any liquor or liqueur. The only thing you have to be careful with are beers, because there's wheat in some beers. Now, you're not giving up with this diet. You're not giving up. Like, you know, you've talked about Atkins and the low-carb thing. I can have potatoes. I can have all of that. But, the potatoes and I can have sugar. You know what I mean? But it's just a matter of keeping it all in some sort of like balance, some kind of perspective.
Right.
And so I did the research. I ended up downloading the book that the guy that is really, I guess, famous, the doctor that's really famous for developing this diet, came up with called Wheat Belly, Lose the Wheat, Lose the Weight, and Find Your Path Back to Health. And his name is William Davis, and like I said, he's a doctor. And basically, the only thing, now I haven't read the whole book yet, but what he recommends is, you know, he'll tell you, you know, watch the alcohol, he'll tell you watch the sugar, you know, all the different things. But the people that have done this diet are saying they are just basically cutting out wheat. Just wheat. Anything that has wheat in it, they do not eat it. And it's amazing because you can have a lot. It's not that limiting. You know, I mean, it's hard not having bread. I mean, I like bread. It's hard not having that, but I can still have popcorn. You know, there are just different things. Like, there are ways to just to deal with it. I started it on Monday. By Wednesday, I was not craving anything. No food cravings at all. No sugar food cravings, no carb food cravings, nothing. I mean, not even the slightest craving for anything, which has never happened to me in 2 days on any kind of, you know, diet. And then I wasn't going to weigh myself because I didn't want to I didn't want to get frustrated because I didn't, you know, I just didn't want to like feel like, okay, I'm just going to be frustrated. There's no miracle happening here, you know, but I did. So this morning before I got in the shower, I got on the scale, and since Monday I was down 5 pounds.
Yay! Which,
well, for me, that's not, awesome. You know, remember I'm 5'9", I'm tall. So 5 pounds is not huge, but it's certainly a start. Now, one thing I have done is I'm really only drinking water. I did decide, besides alcohol, I did decide that I was going to, you know, give up soda, even though they say you can, you know, that there's no wheat in soda and things like that. I did give that up. Just some of the stupid stuff that absolutely does no good at all. So if I want sugar, if I'm craving sugar, I'll have a Lifesaver or something. You know what I mean? Like, but I haven't been craving anything. And what's funny is, what really made me do it was the way it was, like, food was affecting my mood. I would eat something like a cheesesteak. Hello, live in the Philly area. You eat your fair share of cheesesteaks around here. And I would eat a cheesesteak, and then I would be feeling great, no problem. I'd eat the cheesesteak, and all of a sudden, I was in a horrible mood. I mean, bad mood, like, and then very, very tired, and just feeling like crap, you know, just feeling overall crappy from a cheesesteak or French fries. You know, I mean, it could have been a lot of different foods, and I couldn't really understand because I've never been diagnosed with any kind of food allergy. So then I start reading about this, and it's just basically a sensitivity some people have to certain things. And mine, obviously, is some kind of correlation between the wheat and sugar and probably the blood sugar spikes and things like that. I haven't exactly mastered it yet. It's only been 4 days. But I'm figuring it out. And there are certain things. I had a cup of coffee, and I felt really awful after the coffee. And coffee's on the list of completely fine things to have. So I felt all bloated and gross. And I'm like, what is this? But I don't know if it was because I had tuna fish with it. You know, it could have been like a food combination thing. You know, who knows? But so I'm still working it out. But basically, I'm cutting out anything that makes me feel like crap and everything that has wheat in it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I actually learned about that. Dr. Atkins, you know, back in 1999 is, I think, is when I first read his book and did the diet, and he talked about how bad weed is for you. And unfortunately, it's something that's like been pushed on us forever. Like cereal's good for you, whole wheat this, whole wheat bread, multi-grain bread, and all this kind of stuff. So even though maybe his diet plan, which is actually four different diets, he doesn't ban like bread and pasta forever. But the reason I'm bringing him up is just because that's how I learned originally about the wheat thing from him. And I find the same thing. I mean, I think I have the same sensitivity. My good friend Lori, whose book I wrote, she and I have been friends for, since 1996. She had the same thing, Lisa. She's completely gluten-free. And she said her daughters, like, beg her to stay on the gluten diet because it changes her mood. And her kids are younger, like 12 and 10.
Right.
And she said to me, Dara, you would not believe, like, I actually could turn into a monster with my kids. And she's such a loving, devoted mother.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, like, hard for me to picture, but she goes, oh, no. If I eat anything with wheat in it, she's like, it totally changes my personality.
Well, see, that's the whole thing. You don't have to go gluten-free and wheat-free. You can actually, and that was the thing that took me the longest, really, to catch on when I'm reading all this. I'm like, what? Wait, what? But you're giving up basically most grains. I mean, you're giving up all kinds of different grains. And with wheat-free, you're just giving up wheat. So you can still have all those other grains and things like that. But people that have celiac disease and things like that are supposed to be on gluten diets. I've never been diagnosed with it, but I've also never been tested for it, as far as I know. So, but I know how I feel, you know, and I'm going, you know, based on that, and that's exactly
the best test of all.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And what you were saying that Lori felt, that was me too. I'd be all of a sudden pissed off. I'm like, why am I so pissed off? I was fine before I ate the cheesesteak. The cheesesteak was really tasty.
You're talking about the roll, really. It's not the meat.
It's right.
It
probably nothing to do. Now, cheese I found, too, I have to watch, because even though cheese is okay, you know, I use a lot of shredded cheese because it's just easier. It doesn't take as long to melt. It's all about being quick for me. But it's actually, a lot of times, it's mixed with flour, so it doesn't stick together. So there is wheat in a lot of the shredded cheeses. So it's a lot of learning. There's a learning curve. But you can eat ice cream, you know, most ice creams you can have. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I've never been a big ice cream fan. I have ice cream a couple times a year, maybe, and that's because it's summer and ice cream's cold,
ice cream person either.
Yeah, I've just never been that big of an ice cream person, but every once in a while I'll have it, you know, and so that's fine. You can't have ice cream with cookie dough in it, which, by the way, happens to be my favorite ice cream, but that's fine, whatever. Whatever, I can't have that anymore because I can't have the cookie dough. But it's been really interesting, and I don't know, you know, I'm not expecting any miracles or miraculous stuff, and you know, or any kind of but I know I already, and you know, he says in this book, you know, within 5 days, his cardio patients were coming back saying not only, you know, their heart things, their problems getting better, but they were, their joints, the pain in their joints gone, you know, their mood swings gone, you know, their anxiety, depression, all kinds of things that you would never really relate to, you know, a diet for trying to lose weight, you know. But I've noticed as I've gotten older now, I mean, I'm 47, and I noticed that I'm losing my waist. You know what I mean? It's like, there's just like, I'm like, what in the world is happening to my body? And a while back, a couple of years ago, four years ago, something like that, I went on something called the HCG diet, which is very limiting on how many calories you can have a day. And people think it's unhealthy. And I got tired of defending it, but I lost 45 pounds on it and never felt better in my life. And I'll tell you what, the HCG basically is releasing calories that are already there. Like fat that's already there, your body is still, your body's basically being tricked into thinking that you're having more calories than you are. But it is very limiting. There is that whole first couple of weeks where it's really, really a difficult thing to be on, I thought, for me at least. So some people said I did it wrong if I felt that way, but I thought it was hard, being a carb addict, being a being a sugar addict and all that. But it did work. I mean, I definitely lost weight, but you're limited, like I said, to 500 calories a day. But the one thing that was similar is there's absolutely no wheat in that diet. You're not having wheat. You're having vegetables. You're having certain fruits. You're having, lean proteins, lean meats and proteins. It was very restrictive, but it really, really worked. And I felt really good on it. So I started thinking about, I started combining the two, thinking, well, maybe getting rid of the wheat is what made me feel so good, on that diet. Not to mention just losing weight makes you feel good. I mean, when you're overweight, it's just like, it just feels good to be able to put on a pair of jeans and be like, holy crap, these didn't fit last week. You know what I mean? And it's like all of a sudden, or last month I couldn't get into these jeans, and all of a sudden, the jeans are baggy on you or whatever. And you're like, yeah, all right, I'm loving my life. That's just, that feels good all by itself. But not only that, just the feeling like when you eat something, how it just makes you feel horrible. You just feel so, So I'm actually really excited about that, because I'm gonna see, and we'll check in when we talk next week and see how it's going. It hasn't been at all hard for me to follow. I've stuck to it really easily. There's always something to eat. I mean, I bought like things like Jell-O with like fruit in it. So if I want something quick, I have that. Just something to eat, because sometimes it's just a matter of being bored and being like, okay, I just want to eat something, or just wanting to taste something or whatever. I got a lot of Greek yogurt, stuff like that, and I
love Greek yogurt.
Yeah, I got some black cherry one. It was really good. It's different. I mean, it's hard to, when you first start eating Greek yogurt, when you're used to regular yogurt, it is a little bit of a different taste, but you do get really used to it and you really start to like it. But there are a lot of different things that I bought, and I buy my groceries online because I'm that lazy. I don't like going to the grocery store, so I go. My husband doesn't. He likes going to the grocery store. He's bizarre, but he'll go when he's home. But he's not home a lot, so I'll go on to Giant's website and I place an order. And you can actually search gluten free, and it'll come up with everything in the store that is gluten-free, like if it's marked on the package that it's gluten-free, which they really do mark packages really well with that sort of thing now, because so many people are on a gluten-free diet, I'm sitting there, everything's coming up, it was amazing the stuff that came up, and I was so happy because one of my favorite low-calorie dinner or lunches is a Smart Ones, the Weight Watcher Smart Ones makes this this cheddar and broccoli cheese potato thing, and it's cut up, and I nuke it for 6 minutes, and it's like, it's just really, really good. It's a baked potato cut up with cheddar cheese and broccoli on it. It just happens to be something I really love to eat. And it came up, and I was like, yes, I can eat that, because I'm thinking, what if I have to give that up, because it's one of those things that I just happen to enjoy eating. So it's really been interesting. It's really been fun. And it's really been about, for me this time, about, okay, I'm in my, let's still say mid-40s, although I'm about to have a birthday here in a couple of months, so I might have to start saying not so mid. But, your body changes. The way you handle the extra weight changes. The way it affects you changes. The way it affects your joints, the way it affects your mood, everything starts to change. So, what worked for us when we were 20 doesn't necessarily work for us when we're in our 40s, So it's really been something that I've been really studying and learning a lot about, and I wanted to share.
So, Lisa, what's the name of that book again, in case anybody wants to check it out?
The book is called Wheat Belly, and it's actually called Wheat Belly, and then it says Lose the Wheat, Lose the Weight, and Find Your Path Back to Health, and it's by William Davis, M.D. He also has, I think if you go on wheatbelly.com, I'm pretty sure that's the website that I checked out. And, you know, there's a forum on there that people talking about, all right, well, I'm not doing everything in the book because I'm still going to have alcohol, or I'm still going to, you know, I'm not cutting out all the things he suggests. I'm just specifically cutting out wheat. It's everybody's doing their own kind of thing and amazed at the results of just cutting out wheat. And he really, I mean, basically that's what he's telling you, is that all you need to do is cut out wheat. But he's also saying, you know, I mean, he's talking about how it's just an unhealthy grain. It's just unhealthy, and why it's unhealthy and why it's become unhealthy. And he gives you recipes, and, you know, it's really interesting. He's very, the book is easy to read. It's well written. It's not one of those boring kind of, diet books that you can read and you're like, oh God. He makes it make sense. You know, he explains it and makes it make sense why you need to, you know, he says even triathletes and things like that still have a belly. You know what I mean? And he's like, that's because of the wheat. You know, they don't understand it. We've been trained that wheat is healthy, is good for us. And that's where so much of the obesity is coming from, that aspect of things. So it's really, really good. And I, like I said, I'm not that far into the book yet, but I'm really enjoying what I've read so far. And I've done a lot of research on it over the internet. It's not hard to find. The problem is when you type in wheat-free, you find a lot of stuff on gluten-free as well. And it does seem to be a little easier to go gluten-free than just wheat-free in the way of research and the way of shopping. You know what I mean? Because then you're not reading an entire label. You're just looking for that gluten-free little label thing that they have on there. Some things I'm going wheat-free with. So it just depends. But it's really been interesting. So yeah, anybody who wants to look at a new, I think it's going to be a kind of new health phase here. We're going to go through here. It's going to be the new fad. But it's called Wheat Belly, WHEAT Belly. And I have one, and I'm getting rid of it.
Good for you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nice to hear that.
Yeah, so it's exciting. It's nice to be still able to, I love potatoes, so it's nice to still be able to have potatoes.
Oh my gosh, I love potatoes too. Red potatoes, baked potatoes, mashed potatoes.
You know what I did the other night?
Potatoes.
I made an omelet, and I had to shred the cheese because I had bought shredded cheese, but then I read that I couldn't have shredded cheese because it's actually covered in flour, which I didn't realize, but at the time.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, it has to say gluten-free on it in order for it not to, but it's so it doesn't all stick together in one big glob, I guess. So it was kind of weird to know. But anyway, so I got out a block of cheese, and I'm actually shredding it, and I made just like a cheese omelet. And then my daughter came in, and Kristen, and she started making those steamed red potatoes. She's like, do you want some? I said, a baked potato with my eggs, that sounds gross. But what I ended up doing was I ended up just like putting them in the frying pan that I made the omelet in, and I just cut them up and made home fries and had ketchup, and it was like really good. It really worked.
You gave me an idea for dinner tonight.
Yeah, I know. It was really actually really, really good. I'm really enjoying omelets. It's nice to be able to eat eggs and not feel, you know, like you're doing something wrong.
Well, that's another thing about Atkins, if I may bring him up again. I mean, he, in his book too, he said the egg has been like the most maligned food source.
I agree.
Probably like the most perfect food you could eat. And I won't get into the whole thing because he explained why, but eggs are so good for you. Eggs have gotten a really bad rap.
Well, I think the reason for that is because eggs are so full of cholesterol, but the problem is that it's good cholesterol.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the whole
thing.
But that came out, I mean, that's been the last maybe 10 years that we've paid attention to bad cholesterol versus good cholesterol, good fats, bad fats, you know what I mean? That's been like the triglycerides versus, you know, the saturated fat and all that. So it's been the good fats, bad fats, and back then it was just eggs were bad because they had a lot of cholesterol in them, but nobody understood the difference between the good fats and the bad fats. You know what I mean? So I think that's really what happened with eggs there.
Yeah, plus, you know, the We were talking about another diet, so it's not like I want to keep talking about Atkins, but there's other reasons for that that he explains in his book as well.
Yeah.
And yes, that's a huge part of it, the distinction between good and bad cholesterol. But what's really driving up bad cholesterol is like all the sugar and the other crap that people eat and foods that are quote-unquote low-fat. And like all the bad, you know, the preservatives and all the other crap that goes into that food that people think is so wonderful because it's low-fat. Well, actually, and there's good fats too. I think people are finally realizing also.
Yeah, I think so too, and I think that we all, you know, I've talked to you about this before too. Like, I tried Atkins with my husband. My husband lost a bunch of weight. I lost nothing. I think that certain people respond differently depending on your chemical makeup, just the way your body chemistry is. Different people respond differently to different foods, and I think that certain diets work better for one person versus another person just based on that. For me, I don't like meat enough, honestly, in my opinion, I don't like meat enough to be able to eat enough calories to make it on Atkins. You know what I mean? You really do need to eat some meat on Atkins.
Chicken, fish.
All of that, like chicken, ever since I was on HCG, I ate so much flipping chicken that I now despise chicken. I can't choke chicken down anymore. Choke chicken down. That sounded horrible. I just don't like it anymore. Yeah. That, you know, so it's like, now I like some fishes. I like tilapia, some not fishy tasting fishes, but mostly if I was going to eat meat, I was a beef person, you know, I would eat beef and I don't really like it enough to eat enough of it. You know, like I couldn't have a steak every day or anything like that. So there was, you know, that was part of it. That was part of it. It wasn't hard. I mean, I'll follow any diet. I can be, you know, very good at that. But if I'm not seeing results, I'm giving up, you know, and that's just the way it was. Dieting with a guy, always a bad idea. And I tell women this all the time. Do not diet with your husband. Bad idea. Men lose weight so much faster than women. I don't understand it. It irritates the hell out of me. It's unfair, but they do. And I don't think it's a good idea for women to diet with their husbands or any men and think it's going to be a fair thing. And it's frustrating because you sit there and, you know, my husband's getting on the scale saying, oh, I'm down 10 pounds. I'm like, I'm up a pound, you know, and I'm like, I did everything exactly the same, but we have different hormones and, you know, depending on the time of the month, the bloating and the, you know, all of that.
Yeah, and I think women have an extra layer of fat, too, just naturally built in.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's not an excuse. I think I read that somewhere.
I read that same thing as well, that there's something different there, and we resist losing it for some reason more. We hold on to it more than men do, like almost like a security kind of thing, but not emotionally. It's like I think it's based on maybe pregnancies and things like that, you know. I don't know. So anyway, but that was my big thing this week was my wheat belly diet. So I just wanted to recommend that to anybody. Oh, and Dr. Oz had this doctor on his show. And there's a bunch of videos on YouTube that show the segment he had with this doctor, Dr. Williams. Williams, is that his name? I forget already. That he had on the show. No, it's Dr. Davis, William Davis. He had Dr. Oz on him on the show. And so if you look up Dr. Oz and Wheat Belly, you can see some really great clips of the show that he had with him on. And he kind of explains his whole philosophy, and it really was really interesting. So just wanted to throw that out there to everybody.
Yeah, it's definitely something to look into. Sounds good. And Lisa, I'm looking forward to weekly check-ins now to see how you're doing.
I know, me too. And that'll keep me honest too. That's one of the other reasons that I put on here. It has not been hard though. It really hasn't. I have to tell you, of all the diets, and I've tried them all, this one has been, this one is,
me too, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, this one's really, really very simple. I mean, it's just nothing difficult about it, you know. And then what's cool for me is I get a few pounds off and my joints stop hurting because I have like one knee that's really, really bad. If I can get that back in order, then I can actually start exercising, you know, and really getting myself feeling better. So I'm really excited about it, and this will be a nice check-in for me every week to
tell everybody how I'm doing on it, and everybody can follow along, and we'll put Dr. Davis's theory here to the test.
Looking forward to that.
I will be Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss's guinea pig for the Wheat Belly Diet.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that good. Sounds... All right, you have anything else? Are you ready to wrap it up?
Yeah, I'm ready to wrap it up. I'm just, it was another fun show, Lisa, and I want to just thank everyone for listening and just for supporting the network, rightstreamradio.com. And look for, I know I brought this up before too, we're getting really close to releasing Steps to Salvation, but I just want to put Shlomo's blog out there because as his marketing person, I'm the one doing the blog posts, and he's got some very, very interesting concepts. And so we're putting out little teasers about the book. So it's shlomoatia.wordpress.com. Check that out.
And Shlomo is spelled pretty much like it sounds. It's and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's S. Is it C-H or S-H?
Oh, sorry. It's S-H-L-O-M-O-A-T-T-I-A.
Okay. Yeah, it's actually, it's you think it would be hard. It's actually spelled. Like, every time I see it, I'm like, wow, that's pretty much how it's pronounced. That's interesting. But, I have a copy of it, but I have not started it yet because I'm trying to finish about three other books right now, but I'm going to get there.
I'm so far behind on my reading.
Yeah, I can't wait for summer. It's like I need to sit on a beach for a week and just read, just to catch up.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, Lisa, I'd be curious, like, check out the blog because what I'm trying to do, because, and you know this because I've kind of shared a little bit about the process with you along the way, but the book is so multifaceted. I mean, there are so many themes and concepts that I thought in the blog, I kind of take a particular theme each day and sort of excerpt a couple of things from the book with a few little teasers in there. Not obviously not giving everything away, but just trying to break it out so that people kind of, before they even pick it up, they sort of have a better understanding of what it's all about and what to expect. So anyway, so check out his blog, shlomoatia.wordpress.com. We're going to start doing a series of YouTube videos also that's going to help with him, where we'll do a Q&A, and I'll be off camera asking the questions, and he'll be answering them, and so we'll be adding that to his blog, and we'll be promoting that everywhere.
That's great.
Well. So I'm psyched. I'm just really happy to be in the marketing phase of things.
Yeah, yeah. That's the fun phase. I love the marketing phase. That's the fun phase.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so all right. Well, everybody, if you want to learn more, Derry, you should give your website out too. I'm at lisatarves.com, LISATARVES.com. Daria?
DariaDGiovanni.com. That's DariaDGiovanni.com.
All right, great. So you can find out more about us there and more about the network at rightstreamradio.com. We'll have find links on all of our websites and the Rightstream website to our Facebook pages and our Twitter accounts and to LinkedIn and Pinterest and all the other things that we're on. So everybody check out those things. And we will be back next week with another new show. Let's go with new show because I keep saying live and we're not live or recording. But one of these days we are going to do a live one. It's going to happen.
Yes, we are. Yes, it is.
We just have to make it work with our schedules. That's all. We will. The more people you get involved, it's just a little harder to get the whole timing right. So, but we'll make that happen soon too. So everybody that's listening, if you're a regular listener, you can call in and give us your two cents on the show and your opinion on what we talk about and things of that sort. Just be kind because Daria and I cry very easily. Right.
Okay. I'm a Pisces. I can't very emotional.
Yeah, I'll either get mad at you and yell, or I'll cry. I'm a Gemini. I could go either way. So it could end badly or sadly. It could go either way. Anyway, no, we like honesty. We like honesty. And before, if you want to write in, you can always write into the rightstreamradio.com. Use info, or I think info. Lisa or Daria, right? I think all of those are ways to contact us. But there's a contact page on rightstreamradio.com that you can send in anything you want about any of the shows, including Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. Everyone, until next week, we are going to wish everyone a great weekend and a fantastic week to come, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.